How would you like me to proceed, Terry?
Well, let's first discuss the proposed changes to Article 3, Section 1A. You know, just do it in the bylaws order.
Actually, the first change we have is for Section 10, looking at the record date.
Of Article 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you have a different document than I'm looking at. But go ahead anyway.
What are the rest of you looking at?
Yeah, point of information. Is this the message, the document pasted into a message? Or is there a file in the file section somewhere?
Bob, you pasted it to and sent it out to the group, correct?
Right. Yeah, there's no attachment, and it's not in the file section. It's just in the body of an email I sent at 8:31 Eastern.
Okay,
in HTML format.
Right.
And the subject line says?
It says, forward EC work group timeline with language.
Can you repeat that? Forward?
Forward EC work group timeline with language.
Okay.
So shall I just read what the change is, and then people would ask their questions in each section as we go along?
Yeah.
Okay, Article 3, Section 10. The note is simply that the record date has been adjusted from 45 days to 30 days to suit the recommended timeline. And this timeline was actually distributed, I think, to the entire committee either earlier this week or last week. And it is the one known as Work Group 07, number 1, because we worked out, I think, maybe three different timelines. We're working now with number 1.
Okay.
Terry, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
It might help just, especially for those who don't have access at this moment to email, if you could ask Serene to just lay out kind of the overview of what the big picture of the changes is, and then go back point by point through each bylaw amendment. Just so people see the context for each point that's being adjusted.
It's a good suggestion. Ms. Roberts, are you prepared to do that?
I am. We looked at several options, and the chart that was sent along is called Election Timeline Alternatives 607, meaning June 07. What we did, what the intent was, to come up with dates that allowed for sufficient time for promotion on air and for debates and so forth without creating a conflict with the fundraising drives, which is what happens now with the fall schedule. So in order to first avoid running into any conflict with the election, the national elections, the governmental elections, and this was in fact approved by this committee, I think maybe at the last meeting, or it may have been the meeting before, Casey's suggestion that we in fact switch from our 1 year on, 1 year, do an election in 1 year, skip, then do it in 2 years. We have 2 years on and 1 year off. He suggested that we switch simply to alternate years and that the elections happen in every odd number year since the governmental elections and certainly the presidential elections happen in even number years, every 4 years. So we would simply bypass that whole block, which clogs the mail and distracts people's attention and so on and so forth. So we're looking first at doing our elections, our Pacifica elections, in every odd number year and doing them every other year on a regular cycle. In terms of the specific timeline, we thought that by beginning the nominations, by opening nominations on June 1st, we would have just completed the spring drive, and with a timeline that allows 30 days for nominations, so that nominations would then close on July 1st, the record date, and there was actually some discussion about this with Casey, the record date we have here is July 15th, and then a mailing, we would mail the ballots 30 days later. They would be returned by September 30th, all things being normal, and then the if we needed to extend for quorum, because Casey again pointed out that a two-week extension generally does not work, because by the time you sort of realize you need it and gear up, your 2 weeks are done. So that a three-week extension might make more sense. And what we ended up with in the final language is simply allowing the extension to run until such a time as the National Election Supervisor closes them. And there's more to come on that particular topic. The reasoning, though, behind extending it with some flexibility is that you may have a case where you're short of quorum, as Henry pointed out on our call, by maybe 15 or 20 ballots, in which case you don't need a three-week extension. On the other hand, as Casey had pointed out, you don't want to have to spend almost a week getting everything in gear and getting people aware of the fact that there's an extension and people then calling in for ballots and so forth, and you really don't have time to serve them. So that's the general overview of the new timeline, and then the changes in language that
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
This is Henry. I just want to interrupt to make one point clear. The changing to having elections every other year implies a change in the length of the term. And what we ended up proposing is a four-year term. Delegates would be elected for a four-year term, either one term or two terms, that to be decided by the voters, consecutive.
Go ahead, Ms. Miller.
We can go through it now section by section. And where the sections are relatively brief, well, which is only in one case, I can read it or not, as folks think necessary. But the first one, it's simply a matter of changing the record date, as I said, from 45 days to 30 days, the record date being the day by which you must be a member in order to participate in either an election or a ballot referendum of some kind.
And the chair will point out, not as an objection, that this also shortens would appear to shorten the time for establishing qualification to receive notice of special meetings, not just of delegate elections.
Right.
And as is logical in order to accomplish the committee's assigned purpose or the work group's assigned purpose. So Section 10 would change from 45 to 30 days.
That's correct. In Article 4,
Excuse me, Terry?
Yes.
It's Bob. I think we're going to get really confused if we talk about them and then come back and vote on them.
Okay.
Would it make sense to just talk about each one and ask questions and make comments and then vote? I mean, unless, you know, there may be one or two that people feel are related, too related to something else, and we could defer those and come back. But I think in general, this will go much more expeditiously if we just dispose of them and then go on.
Is there an objection to consideration in seriatim? Then we'll proceed according to Mr. Letter's suggestion. Article 4, Section 4.
So Article 3, Section 10 on the record date, we're going to vote on that now?
Oh, yeah, we could. Is there any objection to the proposed change to Article 3, Section 10 as a recommendation of this committee to the PMB?
Carolyn, yes.
Okay, Mr. Lederer, you started to speak first.
Thanks. Serene or Henry or who's ever on the work group, did Casey Peters agree with all of these changes, or does he know about all of them? And if so,
yes,
does he agree with them?
He is aware, has engaged in discussion with us. He's been on every call that we've had, and he does agree.
Ms. Burden, I think you wish to be recognized.
Yes, thank you. That was one of my points. And the other is I would feel more comfortable hearing the entire picture before we have to vote on any. So if we could proceed through the sections and then go back and vote, I think some things do impinge on others. I would appreciate that. It's rather confusing and long. I know I'm on the committee. I have not been to your calls. So I'm looking at this de novo. So I would appreciate just going through it and then coming back to a vote. Is that possible procedurally?
Somewhat. The member statement is in the nature of an objection to consideration in seriatim. Mr. Lederer's initial proposal was designed to place the entire thing in context, but if you don't have enough context, we could get a little more of an overview. How about as a compromise, we ask Ms. Roberts to give an overview of the changes to each article, and then consider the sections of each article in seriatim.
Well, I need time to process this much print, and I'm a word person. I cannot do this orally, even with it in front of me. I'm sorry. I know that there's some pressure, so I think you may have to do without my vote until I've really had time to read this over. I apologize, but I just haven't had time to digest it.
Well, I know that you may not have... Sorry, may I speak, Terry?
Actually, I'd rather you just proceed.
Very well. Article 3, Section 10, as I said, the only change there is that we're changing the record date from 45 to 30 days. Article 4, with regard to delegates, looking at Section 4 and the election supervisors, in particular the role of the national election supervisor, because we're adjusting the timeline by about 2 months, we're also asking that the date of hire be adjusted so that instead of the language that says hire this person in May, when we were working with a nomination open date, an open nominations date of 7/25, we're saying since the nominations are now going to be open, assuming this passes, on June 1st, we should hire 2 months earlier in March. With regard to, again, Article 4, Section 5 now, we have done two things. This is with regard to the election time frame. Again, the dates in the paragraph have been adjusted to suit the timeline according to the chart that we'd sent out to everyone a week or so ago. And the other change is that we had a concern about some event, some catastrophic event that might prevent us from proceeding as scheduled. And then we would be really stuck between needing to have an election or an authorized change from the membership and being unable to get the mail out, whether it's in the form of considering the way our country has been heading, some sort of national human-induced disaster, or some other set of circumstances that the Pacifica National Board felt strongly. And when we say strongly, we're asking, in fact, for them to decide by a two-thirds vote rather than simply a majority vote, that the timeline as laid out could not be observed. We've created what we're calling a PNB option, and that is the second part of the adjustment to this timeline, so that the first part simply inserts the dates that we've agreed on, replacing, for example, July 25th with June 1st, replacing the record date of 8/31 with then a record date of 7/15 and so on. The second section within the election time frame section we call the PNB option, and I would actually want to read that. Let me read the language that introduces the entire timeline discussion and the time frame discussion, and then I'll read the specific PNB option.
Chair would ask for less detail in the overview before we consider each section in detail.
That's fine. With regard to the PNB option, it is not an unlimited option. It does place some restrictions in terms of things that they must do in certain intervals that must be observed. Looking at Section 9, also of Article 4, with regard to the removal of delegates, the only change is that since we have discussed, as Henry pointed out, using four-year terms rather than three-year terms, is that the language has been adjusted therein. The same stands for Article 7, local station boards. The same for, that's Article 7, Section 2, with regard to the composition of local station boards. Section 8, with regard to local station boards, talks about associate stations. And again, there the language has been adjusted for the four-year language versus the three-year language. And then in Section 8, when we're actually looking at terms of office, we adjusted the language where it says, and we were asked to present two options, either a one-year term, either a one-term max or a two-term max. So the language has been adjusted where it said 3 years to 4 years, and where it said 6 years, representing two three-year terms, it now says an eight-year maximum. And we have instituted an interval between whatever the max is and someone's intention to return to the board in the form of running again. We've changed that from 1 year to 2 years. Those are the changes.
Okay. So can we go back to consideration of the proposed change to Article 3, Section 10? And I ask again if there's any objection to incorporating the work group's proposed change to Article 3, Section 10 on record date into the committee's recommendation to the PMB.
Carolyn here. I'm objecting only because, as I said, I have not had time to really consider all the implications, and I was not on the call, so I didn't get the benefit of Casey's opinions on these. And so, yes, that's my objection.
Okay, then let's do a roll call vote on each of these votes.
Okay. You want to restate the motion, or should we?
We have most of us have language in front of us. It's changing Article 3, Section 10, mentions of, it's proposing to change all mentions of 45 days to be 30 days, if I understand correctly.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Ms. Allen?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Burden?
Abstain.
Ms. Brazon?
Yes.
Mr. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Lederer?
Yes.
Myself, yes. Ms. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Rawlings?
Yes.
Ms. Shafto?
Yes.
Mr. Van Aken? He may be on mute. Mr. Van Aken? Jack, are you with us?
Am I unmuted now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Oh, okay. I vote yes.
Okay. So we have 9 yeses and 1 abstention.
The proposed change will be incorporated into the committee's recommendation, Article 4, Section 4. Ms. Roberts.
This is with regard to adjusting the higher date of the National Election Supervisor by 2 months to match the adjustment in the opening of nominations.
And that the chair will suggest a comma be inserted after the parenthetical, whichever is earlier in the first sentence of that proposed change. So in March of each year in which there will be an election of delegates by the members, comma, or by a date no less than 90 days before nominations are set to open, comma, whichever is earlier, comma, the executive director shall appoint.
Got it.
Is there any objection to the insertion of this comma?
point of information.
Go ahead.
To anyone from the work group, did you all discuss with Casey the question of whether, what is it, 2.5 months before the deadline is enough time? Because this year, the PNB voted to hire a national supervisor a month earlier than usual. So was that topic discussed, whether, you know, we should take this opportunity to just permanently make it 1 month sooner? So I guess that would make it February.
I don't recall any specific discussion with him about whether we needed to make it earlier. We simply made the adjustment based on the timeline.
Well, maybe could I ask Lydia, because I think she was involved in the motion at the PNB level this year about an earlier hire of the national supervisor. Lydia, are you there?
Well, the chair will take the opportunity to mention that the current national election supervisor did mention that as we get more experience, as years go on, we ought to have less need for early hires in future years. Ms. Brisson, are you back? You got to go ahead without Mr. Letterer.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have to get into it.
Ms. Brisson? No. Anything more from Mr. Letterer?
I guess I'll withdraw the concern, given that the board found the flexibility this year to change it on a one-time basis. So that theoretically that could happen even under this new language. So that's fine. I can support this.
Okay. Does anyone request separate consideration of the PMB option portion of the change to Section 5?
Wait, excuse me, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Did we just adopt without objection the part about the NES?
We did not. The motion is still as proposed by the work group. Let's go ahead and Ms. Roberts read Section 5 before the PMB option. And see if
before,
we can agree to it.
Before we deal with Section 4?
Is there...
Or did I misunderstand Henry's question?
Yeah, we didn't vote yet on Section 4.
Okay, my browser just stopped scrolling, so I can't get to Section 4.
Section 4 was the adjustment of the hire date for the NES.
Ah, okay.
So that we would, in fact, be recommending the hire in March instead of May, since nominations will open on June 1st instead of July 25th.
Okay, Ms. Burden, is your intention to object to every section?
Yes, I think.
Okay, then let's proceed to a vote on.
Well, I can you just record my. I don't want to hold up the meeting to that extent. We just record my abstention from all of the votes?
Okay, if there's no objection, then we will ask if there's any other objections than Ms. Burden on each item.
I do have a point of clarification, if I may, point of information.
Go ahead.
On Section 4A, under the note, there seem to be two paragraphs, and the bracketed section not discussed with the group because it occurred to me later is whether there should be a cap on the extension. Should there be a comma after extension? Using language like, because that changes the meaning a little bit. And the other question I had was, who is the me? Is this Serene's?
Yes,
summary?
It is. I wrote.
Something.
I prepared the final draft. I wrote the report.
Uh-huh. All right. Should there be a comma after extension?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, who would like to explain the parenthetical note?
Yeah, and actually try to get you guys to make a recommendation.
Okay.
The language that we have right now, instead of saying that, the current language says that if there isn't a quorum, the closing date shall be extended for 2 weeks, or by 2 weeks. And I explained earlier why we thought that that might not be the best language to move forward with, either because it might be too long in some cases, not, you know, we don't need it, or not long enough to really get anything done. So the language that we have used is that if the required quorum of ballots is not received by the election's close date, then the election's close date shall be extended until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
Okay, let me interrupt. I just recognized that this parenthetical applies to Section 5, not
to both.
Section
it
4.
It applies to both.
Oh,
right.
It does. Okay, well, please explain how it applies to Section 4.
It applies, no. When I said both, I meant both parts of Section 5. It does not apply to Section 4.
Well, let's see if we can dispose of Section 4 then.
I thought we had.
Yeah. So
did you ask if anyone objected other than Carolyn, and no one said anything? So I thought that.
Well, let's confirm that. Is there any objection other than Carolyn Burden to adoption of the work group's recommendation for changes in Section 4 of the bylaws and the committee's recommendation to the PMB?
Could you please state the recommendation for the work group to the PMB, please?
Section 4.
Yeah. You know, actually, the chair has it, and so the chair can present it.
Chair, go ahead.
Yeah. The work group proposes changing the language of Article 4, Section 4A of the bylaws to be as follows. In March of each year in which there will be an election of delegates by the members, or by a date no less than 90 days before nominations are set to open, whichever is earlier, the executive director shall appoint a national election supervisor whose role shall be to oversee and certify the fairness of the delegate elections in each station area and to confirm said elections compliance with these bylaws. The national election supervisor shall also oversee the nomination process, the preparation of the ballots, and the counting of the ballots, and shall prepare a written statement reporting the results of every election for distribution to the members or posting on the foundation's and radio station's websites. To be eligible for appointment
to the
position, go ahead.
I don't mean to be rude, but since the entire rest of the article is identical to the current language, I don't think it's necessary to read it. I think the question related to what was the change.
Okay.
Point of information.
Mr. Chair, from what I've heard you read and from what I've seen on the bylaws, I have no objection.
Yes, the chair read the section in which there was a change.
Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
May I ask Ms. Burden to state in one sentence again what her objection is?
She hasn't read it.
Ms. Burden is recognized for restating her objection.
Thank you. I'm just a little bit slow to process this, and I have not really sat down, and I apologize because I was on the work group, I just wasn't able to be there, and I haven't had time to process this and think of the implications of this for specific members or the boards or the foundation, so I'm simply going to take time to go through it line by line when I've had time to read it. And also, I haven't heard from Casey Peters. That would be a question also.
Chair?
Yes.
I just want to point out that, as Ms. Burke acknowledged, she is a member of the work group, and that she has been on some of the calls and certainly has received the language before. Now, if she feels uncomfortable moving ahead, I absolutely respect her right to say that, and that's fine. But notices, of course, were sent not just to all the members of the work group, but to all the members of the committee, in fact. And much of this language has been previously distributed.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to imply anything other than that. My point is that I personally need time to process a document of this sort, and I have not given it the time. I haven't had this in front of me when I have had time to look at it, and so I would like to take that time, and I'm sorry for holding you up, but if you'll just proceed without me, I can leave a call if that makes it easier procedurally. But,
no, I think it's clear that the member's objection is simply that she is not prepared to vote, either affirmatively or negatively on the items before us, and that is your right.
And if we stop discussion
of the item, that will not delay committee procedures.
I'm sorry, Chair.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the member wish to be recognized?
Point of first privilege.
Go ahead.
I do not believe that in any way I suggested that she needed to either leave the call or that she had been delinquent in her duty. I merely said that, you know, the information had been provided, and I support her right to choose to abstain.
I think we all understand that. I don't think any more discussion of these particular issues is going to be in order.
Right.
Let us proceed with the work of the committee. With respect to Article 4, Section 4A on the National Election Supervisor, is there any objection to, other than the abstention of Member Burden, to adopting that as the committee's recommendation to the PMB for a change in the bylaws language? Hearing no objection, the motion shall be considered adopted by this committee with the abstention of Ms. Burden, as noted in the record of the minutes of the meeting. Continuing discussion of the parenthetical note to guide committee discussion of Section 5 of this article. Go ahead, Ms. Roberts.
Okay. There are two sections, as I said. One simply inserts the dates that had been agreed upon, and the second presents what we are calling, for want of a better term, and we're open to amendment, the PNB option. And the PNB option, and I'd actually like to read this because I don't know if everyone has access to, even for folks listening, I think it'll be important that they hear it. Beginning the paragraph under Section 5, Election Timeframe, in every odd-numbered year, the schedule for election shall be set forth below, except as detailed in the section entitled PNB option. The section set forth below, as I said, is simply a matter of plugging in the new date. The PNB option begins, if in an even-numbered year, the Pacifica National Board determines by a two-thirds vote that the schedule above cannot be executed due to exigent circumstances, they may by November 30th adopt a schedule subject to the constraints herein. 1. Avoids, where possible, conflicts between major fund drives and the period between the close of nominations and the election close date. 2. Includes a period of not less than 30 days for nomination of candidates. 3. Allows no less than 35 days after the mailing of ballots, on or before which completed ballots must be received to be counted, also known as the election close date. 4. Provides that all other intervals within the timeline remain as stated in the preceding paragraph. And 5. Allows for seating in December as provided for in Article 7, Section 6B. And with regard to number 4, the language it says provides that all other intervals within the timeline remain as stated in the preceding paragraph. That makes reference to the fact that they, when the National Election Supervisor declares the election closed in terms of the final ballot return date, then, as before, there are 15 days for them to count the ballots and certify the results, and grants the NES the discretion to extend the election close date or quorum if needed. And I do have a question I want to raise with the body about about the segment about the NES extending.
May I interrupt?
Sure.
And suggest, ask if there's any objection to the insertion of a semicolon at the end of each of the numbered sub-items except the last, so that item 1 would end in the semicolon like item 2 does, item 3 would end in the semicolon, and item 4 would end in the semicolon.
This is Bob.
Go ahead.
Terry, I really appreciate your grammatical editing, but in the interest of time, I was just about to say we're actually at time on this. Maybe we could just ask that any member who finds things like that could email them to Serene, and we could authorize her to just clean up. I mean, this is purely technical, grammatical, or punctuation things. Because the next step I'm going to recommend is that we have to have our foundation counsel review the whole thing. He may well have other wording changes, so just to expedite this, maybe we could do it proceed in that way.
Any objection to the member's proposal?
No.
Hearing no objection, any members with minor grammatical changes should send them to Ms. Roberts, the convener of this work group for incorporation.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Henry, no. I would just like to fill in people, in case people have forgotten, with a little bit of background. The reason this proposal took the proposal for this section took the shape it now has is that we, as Serene said, we originally started to just to modify the timeline in order to avoid conflicts with governmental elections and with station fund drives. While we were working on that, Casey came up with a completely different alternative, which was just to allow the PNB to schedule the election each election year. At the last meeting of this group, of the whole elections committee, there was, also in the work group, there was a feeling that Casey's proposal gave too much flexibility to the PNB, no constraints on when or how long and so on. What happened, and Casey eventually agreed that that was correct. When the issue came to the last meeting of this body, there was a kind of compromise mandate to the work group emerged, which was that we should include a detailed timeline, a revised detailed timeline as we had originally planned, and that we should include an option for the PNB to change it in case of what we call exigent circumstances, but that their freedom to change it should be somewhat constrained in order to safeguard democracy and so on. So that's why that's the overview. What we're offering here then is a revised timeline that we think will work, but we're also offering something that the committee requested last time, which is some override option for the PNB with subject to constraints.
Okay, the chair has a point of information. The parenthetical here refers to the extension of elections, but the text we have does not appear to include that section. Would that section, unless we change it, remain as is current, or is the substitute language taking that away?
Well, that's what I indicated a moment ago that I wanted to discuss with the committee to sort of get a feel for where people are on it.
My question is, if we adopt this change to Section 5, has it eliminated the option to extend elections?
No.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I think I can address your question.
Is that Mr.
Henry Knorr?
Okay.
It's actually in the language in question is in the paragraph that begins, "All ballots shall be held sealed until the election close date."
There. Okay.
Then the next sentence, the second sentence of that paragraph, reads, under our proposal, if the required quorum of ballots is not received by the election's close date, then the election's close date shall be extended until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
So that's where we would insert an amendment if we want to limit that.
Yes.
Is there a proposal to limit the discretion of the National Election Supervisor to extend elections?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, the concern is that while we have a National Election Supervisor now who is quite sane, that you don't want to give unlimited power to any single individual. so that the language in the current bylaws and the language that continues in our suggested change says that if, in fact, quorum is still not obtained by the extension, the extended date, then those delegates whose terms would have expired will continue until the next regularly scheduled election, without putting some sort of limit on how long the or how many extensions or how long the NES may extend. Although I don't think it's likely, you could actually have an NES who continues to extend for the period of up to 2 years.
Is there a recommendation from the work group?
No. In fact, I specifically said that it was not discussed with the group because it didn't occur to me until after after our discussion.
The chair will entertain a motion to extend up to 4 weeks.
So moved.
Who made the motion?
Serene.
Okay. Ms. Roberts moves to change the language to the national and local election supervisor. No, let's see. Shall be extended up to 4 weeks until closed by the national election supervisor.
At which point it will be closed?
Then the election's close date shall be extended up to 4 weeks, by up to 4 weeks, until closed by the national election supervisor.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Ms. Brazan.
That seems to me to kind of defeat the purpose. Now, I'm unclear. When are the new members to be seated? Right now it's the first week in December. What is the new timeline? How does that affect that?
I think it just says December. I don't think it says the first week.
So it's still December. And so again, I don't have it before me. So when do the elections end, or when is the normal date? Let's say everything goes according to schedule.
September 30th. Right.
So, go ahead. Okay.
No, I'm saying there's quite a bit of leeway, and 4 weeks is not a fixed. I mean, anyone who thinks maybe they need 6 weeks instead is free to suggest that. I'm not, you know, wedded to that.
I would do it through November. I just think we can't foresee. I mean, I do think there needs to be an end date. It needs to be before they need to be seated, but I would prefer till the end of November, and I say that only because some of the stations have had more of a challenge meeting the quorum, and we have, I don't know about other signal areas, but in LA we had far fewer candidates running, and if this pattern continues, then it's going to be more and more of a challenge. So I would like to see us be able to have elected boards for as long as we can sustain them. So I just think it would make more sense to make it through the end of November.
The chair will point out that the motion before the body pretty much says that. 4 weeks from September 30th is pretty close to the end of... I apologize. You said November, not September, October, not October.
Not October. I said November. I said just be...
Yeah.
In time for them to be seated, obviously it shouldn't exceed the time they need to be seated on the board.
Yeah, so that would be that would be 8 weeks.
Yes. Well, I mean, I doubt that we would ever need that much time, but we don't know. I mean, things aren't looking well in some of the stations that way. Governance
Ms. Brazan,
has not
you,
been that attractive.
Are you offering substitute language of 8 weeks?
8 weeks.
Okay.
I would like to specifically say November 30th.
Okay.
Well, can I say why? Well, can I be recognized?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Chair, point of personal privilege.
Go ahead for a point of personal privilege.
This is Sandra Rollins, and I have to leave the call now.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank everybody for all of your hard work, and I will see you on July the 3rd or 23rd. I think 23rd is the next meeting, unless there is a special meeting called before then.
Can I ask Sandra a quick question before she leaves?
Sure.
July 23rd, yes.
Sandra, at the end of this process tonight, I'm going to ask if the directors on this call will be willing to be among the six directors that are required to sponsor any set of amendments. So obviously I know you can't answer that now until you've gone through everything, but if you would be open to that, I'll email you you know, in
the next I am very open to that. I appreciate all the hard work that everybody is doing to put forth some bylaws amendments, and so far I haven't heard anything that I strongly object to. I really do appreciate everybody's efforts to try to move everything forward, and well, we'll just go from there, but I really do apologize that I need to leave this call.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, where we're at is a substitute amendment has been properly proposed, so the committee will consider 8 weeks before it considers 4 weeks. And if 8 weeks is approved, 4 weeks will not be.
I'd ask to be recognized.
Go ahead.
Lydia, the reason I didn't, first of all, I think we do need to use a period of time rather than a date, because in the event that the PNB changes the timeline, we don't necessarily want to have a fixed date in there. We just want to tell them that they have to observe the intervals, so we want to be consistent with giving them a period of time.
Okay, that's fine.
And the other thing is that if we want them to be seated in December, and we have to allow at least 15 days for the actual ballot count and announcement. I mean, it'll still be November, but it may be more mid-November that we want to make the cutoff point. So that would be closer to, 6 weeks rather than 8 weeks?
The maker of the proposed amendment will be allowed to change from 8 to 6 if he wishes.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so the committee will consider a 6-week extension before it considers a 4-week extension, and if a 6-week is approved, that will be the choice of the committee. Anyone else wish to speak on the issue?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Mr. Lederer.
I'm a little queasy about the 6 weeks, because right now, under this, well, Serene, maybe you could clarify, under this this language that the working group is recommending, the core period before any extensions, is that different or the same than the current ballot return period? And how many days is that currently?
It is different in that the days between nominations, between ballots opening and closing will be, referring to my chart. Actually, in terms of the time that the ballot is in the members' hands,
yeah,
it's twice as long as currently. Currently, you only have, you have a month between the day the ballot is being mailed and the date it's due back. And under the new proposal, you'd have 46 days.
Okay. Then my point here is, okay, so we're already expanding the core period by 2 weeks. Now we're taking the potential extension, which currently is 2 weeks, and taking it all the way out to 6 weeks for a total of 12 weeks, potentially, under if a national supervisor thought it was necessary. She or he could declare that the elections go on for 12 weeks. And I just think that's just too much. I mean, you know, it would require all kinds of announcements over the air for those 12 weeks and for people to be focused on it and thinking about it. And I just think if you can't get people after, 4 weeks of a regular or, 6 weeks of a regular period, minus whatever mailing time, but, 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, to decide, and then another 4 weeks after that, I just think you're kind of squeezing blood from a stone when you get past the 4-week extension. So much as I'm sympathetic to what Lydia is saying, I just think it opens the door to just kind of an endless process. So I don't know.
Well, this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Ms. Brazon.
I have a question from Serene. Serene, but the election supervisor wouldn't be holding the elections open endlessly, for that full period for the stations that make quorum, only for the ones that don't make quorum. Is that correct? It's up to him.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. And it isn't like the length of time. The point is that we don't know that we fall short of quorum until that, whatever it is right now, I don't know, the November 15th date, I don't know what it is with the new timeline. But anyway, when we go and we get to open all the envelopes or count for the quorum, that's the problem. And at that point, you accelerate your announcements. And I know locally here, the programmers are anxious to stop those announcements, so they personally start making more urgent types of announcements to the listeners. So I still support that additional time myself. And the other thing, here's the other thing, is that the first class mail, which I wholeheartedly support, I don't believe it's that you're going to put that in the bylaws. That's still a matter of policy that the PMV voted on, right? Is that right, Serene?
Yes, it is
possible. Okay, and which means that the PMV could at any moment decide, sometimes out of necessity or whatever, to do it bulk mail. And so you're really going to need all of that extra time, given that bulk mail is impossible. You could go 2 months without getting something you send by bulk mail. So so that's still going to be a matter of policy that the PMB can change. So I really think that we need to be as flexible and allow as much time. And I can't imagine an election supervisor wanting to prolong the agony for any reason. So I don't think it'll be abused.
Okay, the chair put himself on the stack. It should be pointed out the conflict of interest in national and local election supervisors, if not hired at a flat rate, that the ability to extend the election also extends their term of employment. Current motion before us is to cap the extension at 6 weeks. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on that proposal before it is voted upon?
Teresa Allen.
Go ahead, Ms. Allen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm a little bit distracted, but I think I agree with Bob that we do not need to make this so long. And if we really want to turn our listener supporters off, we would have it, you know, an extended period of time. I think that we need to efficiently run our election, so I'm all for the cap.
Any further discussion? Mr. Lederer?
Well, actually, Lydia's last point about the bulk mail kind of persuaded me that it might be wise to keep that six-week period as a fallback in case, you know, in case the board ever changes its mind. Let's say there's an extreme financial crisis. Not that I'm supporting this, but if that were to happen and they just felt they had no choice but to revert to bulk mail, then probably they might, it's conceivable they might need those extra 6 weeks to make sure all the ballots get in. So I withdraw my objection, but I did want to actually offer a small amendment to clarify, because I think some election supervisors have differently interpreted this language about extensions in the past, and that is to clarify that the lack of a quorum at one station does not obligate the national supervisor to make whatever extension she or he wants to apply automatically to all five. And while I know, you know, last year it was done on a one-by-one basis, that I think the language is too ambiguous, and we might as well use this opportunity of doing an amendment to tighten up the language. So I'm proposing that it read, if the required quorum of ballots is not received by the election close date at one or more stations, that's the first phrase that would be added, at one or more stations. And the next phrase where it says, then the election's close date shall be extended at, and then add the phrase, at the affected stations until close, the language about until, what is it, I'm sorry?
Until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
Well, but now we're adding that time frame. So it's up to 6 weeks until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
Actually, as I read it, the change in in extensions is in the last sentence, so doesn't really belong.
Okay, where do you think it should go?
If no quorum of ballots is obtained by the extended date. I'm sorry.
It does go in that second sentence, that the one Bob was talking about.
Okay, does Secretary have the language of the proposed amendment?
I believe so. Excuse me. I believe I have language. One second. Okay. Sorry, my mouse is giving me a little trouble. Okay. I'll just read the sentence in question.
Go ahead.
If the required quorum of ballots is not received by the elections close date at one or more stations.
I think that phrase should actually go earlier. If the required quorum of ballots
is not received at one or more stations.
Yeah, or maybe it could just say at any station.
Okay.
Is not received by the election
So wait, you want to put the require? You want to put at any stations? Why don't you read your language?
Okay, sorry. If the required quorum of ballots at any station, singular, is not received by the election's close date, then the election's close date for that station shall be extended until closed by, shall be extended for up to 6 weeks until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
I'm sorry, read it again.
If the required quorum of ballots for any station is not received by the election's close date, then the election's close date for that station shall be extended for up to 6 weeks until closed by the National Election Supervisor.
Okay, other than the...
Would that be by or for? Sorry.
By. If other than the 6 weeks portion of the proposed amendment, is there any objection to that language? The specification of to limit the extensions to individual stations based on their quorum. Hearing no objection, we can proceed to considering the entire amendment. If it fails, then we will reconsider it with 4 weeks instead of 6 weeks. Is everyone clear on the proposed amendment? And the Secretary, other than the abstention of Ms. Burden, is there any objection to the proposal to change the worker proposal as stated? And the chair will object. So, other than the abstention of Ms. Burden and the objection of the chair, is there anyone else who would object to the 6 week extension? Failing objection, then the language as recently read by Mr. Letter is adopted to change the motion before the committee as allowing a 6 week extension at at a station that fails to achieve quorum. So we're now ready, I believe, to consider the entire proposal regarding Section 5.
Chair, this is Henry.
Yes.
Would you care to state the reasons for your objection?
I think 4 weeks is sufficient considering the 2 week current, because that would double the length of a possible extension.
Okay.
And I agree with Terry.
Well, then that's another objection.
Yes.
Is there an objection to take? Is there an objection to taking a vote on the six-week language? Then let's call the roll on the 6 weeks portion of the proposed amendment.
Clarification specifically on, it's on the full language with the 6 weeks, but if we vote no, we would then reconsider it presumably with 4 weeks?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The earlier language in the proposed amendment was accepted without objection.
Right.
Except possibly the abstention of Ms. Bird.
Right. Okay. Ms. Allen.
No, I'm not. I'm opposed to the amendment.